Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone. This is Raise Your Voice as part of the D-Raise Bay Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brett Rutherford, and I've got a great show for you guys today. In a little bit, I'll be joined by Kevin Weiss and Ulysses Zambrano of the Locked On Rays podcast. We talk about the AL Rookie of the Year race, the AL Wildcard race, and at the end, they raise their voice with some of their most controversial baseball and Rays opinions. It's a great show, but before that, just kind of want to run through some of the Rays news of the week. So Shane McClanahan goes on the IL today, the day of recording. That is Friday, September 10th. He goes on the IL with a sore back, and this is supposed to be a precautionary move from the Rays. He's only supposed to miss one start, but it's a little bit worrying. These back issues tend to linger, and if he misses a couple weeks, or maybe it's a little bit closer to the postseason before he's back, it's going to be harder for him to build back up to be in a six or seven inning mode come the postseason. And it's just going to be something to keep an eye on. Again, I don't think there's any reason. Oh, there's reason to worry. He's on the IL with lower back tightness. But I don't think there's any reason to worry about his postseason yet. But if this IL stint keeps going, that is something to keep an eye on. Matt Whistler came off the IL and went right back on. The middle finger was still bothering him. I don't know. That's just one of those things. These finger injuries for pitchers are weird. It feels like, you know, for the average Joe or for any of us, it feels like, oh, just your finger, tape it up, figure it out, and get back out there. But especially for a guy like Whistler, who is so dependent on his slider, that middle finger is really important. And so, again, I have no idea what his status is going to be moving forward. To replace Whistler and McClanahan, the Rays called Lewis Head back up once again, and Dietrich Enns again, for I think this is his third stint now with the team. Head has been up and down so many times. The other interesting one is Josh Lowe. Josh Lowe was called up to make his major league debut. He played in one of the games this past week against the Red Sox, and he is still with the roster this weekend as they are playing Detroit. I'm watching that game now. Looks like Nelson Cruz with an extra base hit to move Wander to third in the top of the first. Again, you guys will have known the result by of that game already, so forgive me when I give updates for this game that I'm watching on Friday night. Josh Lowe called up again just to fill in the outfield while Randy Arozarena is on paternity leave. So congratulations to Randy and his wife for giving birth to a child. I think Randy's second child. He'll be back from the paternity list on Saturday, and I expect Josh Lowe to go back down once that occurs. But it's really nice to see Josh Lowe in the big leagues, and he had a pretty good first game. Don't know if he'll play in Detroit before getting sent back down to the Durham Bulls, who are getting ready for their playoff, because of course they've had the best team in AAA this year. Look at their roster. Other than that, there hasn't been a whole lot of other news. Oh, except for the news that just came out today. Nick Anderson joined the team in Detroit, and he could be activated before the end of the weekend. A really good sign for a guy that hasn't pitched all year. Now, I'll be honest, my expectations for Nick Anderson are pretty, I don't want to say low. I don't expect him to be bad, but I really just don't have expectations for how he's going to pitch. We haven't seen him this year. He was hurt at the end of last year, and that kind of explains how he struggled during the postseason, including Game 6 of the World Series, even though I don't think he struggled that poorly in that game. Also some news to develop. Wander Franco leaving this game with the trainer being pulled. That is not good. But wow, I'm sorry if that's going to kind of ruin my mood. And again, you guys will probably have more news on that by the time you're listening to this. But Joey Wendell pinch running for Wander Franco here in Friday night's game. So I guess that's some news there too. I really didn't see what happened. So another storyline to follow there as Wander Franco, who has been the Rays' best player, is pulled from Friday night's game. But we've seen them bring back G-Man Choi and now Nick Anderson. And again, I am And I just have no expectations for Nick Anderson. If he comes back and is the Nick Anderson of old, then that's awesome. But if he doesn't, I still think the Rays are fine in the bullpen. I'm just excited to see him and have him back in this bullpen. I think that's most of the big news. Brett Phillips is probably close to coming back as well. And it's going to be good to see this team get healthy. Now Shane McClanahan and hopefully Wander Franco are okay as well as they head closer to October. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Kevin Weiss and Ulysses Zambrano.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And now joining Raise Your Voice, it is the hosts of Locked On Rays podcast. It is Kevin Weiss and Ulysses Zambrano. Guys, it's nice to virtually meet you. You guys are a huge part of the Rays community. And I guess this is a question for one or both of you, really either of you. I'm sure it's a lot of fun. I'm sure you guys love what you do. But how hard is it to do a daily Rays podcast?
Ulysses, you want to take that one?
Well, I think it takes a lot of text messages for sure, and flexibility. But most of all, you gotta start waking up early. If you don't like waking up early, I don't think you're able to do this. Sometimes we've gotten up before the sun does, you know, before anybody is up in our apartment complexes or in our neighborhoods to record or record late, you know, when we did that in the playoffs, which was really fun. Don't get me wrong, but it's late and or very early. So I think those are the components. Do we have anything else, do you think?
I would just add that it's good that, look, I'm not the biggest proponent of a 162 game, 9-inning schedule. That is something Ulysses and I probably disagree with, plus spring training and playoffs. But it helps when you have a game just about every day that you can discuss and recap during the week. That's certainly makes it smoother, and you sort of have built-in topics with, we're going to talk about last night's game, we're going to preview the upcoming game, and usually there's some sort of fun tie-in listener-generated segment that we build in there too. Sometimes if it's quite an eventful game, we'll talk about that for all three segments and go from there. And then in the off-season, thankfully, I don't know how we could do this for our mental, emotional, and physical well-being is there is a time, maybe a month after the playoffs, where we taper back to 3 days a week. And we do some bigger picture topics and review. Hey, let's do some player reviews. Let's see, you know, we kind of have some more fun with it because there's not games going on, but so it's not, you know, yeah, we're 5 days a week right now, but in the off season, we go back to 3 days a week. So that makes it a little bit more manageable as well.
And I'll go back to this actually from what he said, a Google Docs, Google Sheets. We have a Google Sheets for the both of us where we just put up an idea, maybe sometimes for the off season. And so that kind of keeps us in check and kind of fun ideas that we can talk about on the podcast. So I guess all of that together is the component of doing a daily podcast on our favorite team.
See, like I do this once a week at most, right? Sometimes I there's a week that we take off, but I find a hard time, you know, coming up with good content, but you guys are doing it on the daily and really the only, you know, people in this space that are doing that covering the Rays. So I think the Rays community is really lucky to have you guys doing this. The closest thing we do would be in the postseason. We do our instant reaction podcast after each game, but those are really like, I don't even edit those. We record and I just boom, publish. Right as a podcast. So that was tough this last postseason, because if you guys remember, there were no off days. I mean, they just played game after game after game. And so I lived your guys' lives for about a month doing that. And it was definitely difficult. So I definitely sympathize for you guys. But also, I'm really, really grateful that you guys do what you do. And you guys do a great job. Before we jump into the Rays discussion here, I'm kind of curious, how did you guys become Rays fans? Have you been lifelong fans? Or and when did you start doing the podcast ultimately?
Ulysses, you want to take that one too?
Well, I moved to the U.S. when I was 12 years old. So that was 2003. And I used to go to the Trop. But again, the Devil Rays weren't so good back then, as we all know. So I used to actually just go to watch the Venezuelan stars. I used to go and follow all the Venezuelan players. So when they used to play, for example, the Twins, I would go to watch Johan Santana and players like that. But of course, 08, I was a sophomore in high school and they just went off. And it was really fun to watch highlights on SportsCenter while being on driver's ed class, and because the guy didn't care. So I was just watching SportsCenter race stuff, and I got hooked. I just could not get any more of a race fan. And so the 08 season did me in. And then I met Kevin a couple of years later as a freshman at USF. We both went to USF, and we just, you know, had like four or five classes the first semester. It was crazy. I was like, that's the same guy in that other class. That's crazy. And we interned at USF Bulls Radio, the station, and we met there, and he was like, hey, I think I was wearing a race hat or something. And he was like, hey, you like the race? I'm like, I am. Yes, I'm obsessed, but I'll keep it civil. Yeah,
I like the race.
Yeah, I like them. I follow them. And that's where it grew, our relationship. And then ultimately we got the podcast going.
Yeah, that's a really good synopsis there. And I'll also add this, Ulysses, in going to USF, he was actually classmates with none other than Jose Bautista, correct?
I was.
Oh, wow.
For two classes. Yeah.
Yeah.
At USF, it was awesome. He was really, really great. And everybody thought it was super cool because I was talking to him in Spanish, and we were just talking about baseball, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, they're like super friends. I'm like, no, we're just talking about normal stuff, spring training and all that. So yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah. So, first off, Ulysses, I want to say this way to use that Hillsborough County public school education where you're watching Sports Center and TV during driver's ed class. Yep. So that sounds about par for the course there, but, yeah. Kind of similar in a way in that I really started to follow and enjoy and watch the Rays when Evan Longoria got the call up and you had the sensation that was that team. But I kind of dabbled in and out with the Rays. I grew up in Southern Indiana, and that was more of Cincinnati Red, Chicago Cubs, big fandom there. In fact, the AAA team for the Cincinnati Reds is in Louisville, the Louisville Bats. So always had a baseball background, but my grandmother retired and lived for a long time in Port Charlotte. So there was kind of a tie-in with the then Devil Rays. So I would kind of dabble here and there, you know, watching Rocco Baldelli, Aubrey Huff, you know, all the old school guys. And then once, you know, I was still in Indiana when the Rays were in high school, when the Rays were going on that run in 2008. And that's where I really started to, and I always had dreams and aspirations of moving to Florida and going to USF and living in a bigger city, so to speak. And it just, my fandom kind of evolved that year in 2008. And Ulysses, I think it's probably fair to say that a lot of people's fandom evolved during that season.
Certainly my other classmates in driver's ed did too. I mean,
yeah, we're all watching the games, watching the highlights.
Exactly. Brett, are you an 08 fandom as well, or are you a little bit earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to age you guys. I was in the fourth grade in 2008.
Oh, you did. Oh, that hurt. Oh, my goodness.
All right, we're done. See you later. Bye.
But also as another product of Hillsborough County Public School System, I remember in the, you know, not so great years, 2014 to 2017, watching clips and highlights and sometimes live games during my high school classes. But again, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, you know, started, you know, born in 99. So started going to the Trop at a really early age. And I always, you know, it kind of, you know, blossomed as I got older. But I remember 2008 very well. My dad had season tickets that year, so I went to a good amount of games. And it's only gotten better from there. So and then started doing this podcast a couple years ago.
That's right.
Kevin, you mentioned Evan Longoria coming up in 2008 and the big rookie phenom that he was. And we get to kind of experience it again, but maybe even at a higher level this year, seeing Wander Franco really become a star in front of our eyes. He's been one of the best players on the planet the last month, month and a half. You know, a little bit of a slow start when he came up, but we could all see the tools were there, even at such a young age, the age of 20. He's breaking records now, just passed Mickey Mantle for longest on base streak in the American League for a player under 21 years old. And honestly, now I think halfway through the season, the AL Rookie of the Year candidates. You saw guys like Adolis Garcia hitting as many homers as he had this year for the Rangers. Randy Arozarena, which is kind of just crazy to think of him as a rookie. He's already a record holder at the major league level. And then you look at the pitching side, Luis Garcia for Houston, maybe even Shane McClanahan for the Rays as potential candidates for Rookie of the Year. But Wander Franco has really forced his way into that conversation. Do you guys actually think he has a chance to win it this year?
Man, I did some digging, and I didn't go as far back as I should have, but I did the last 10 years. And in the last 10 years, there have only been three position players to have won the Rookie of the Year while playing less than 100 games. That's Carlos Correa with 99, Yordan Alvarez with 87, and our own Will Myers with 88. Now, as Rays fans, we all remember that whole thing with Myers. Not only is he going to get called up, but once he did, it's will he have enough games? Well, right now, Wander has 61 games with, 22 to play, 22 to go?
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, if he were to win it, not only would he have to sustain the crazy level of play that he's at right now, which, again, that's going to be very difficult to do for the next 22 games. But if there was one guy to break that record of the last 10 years with only 83 games and winning the AL Rookie of the Year, doesn't that just sound like something that Wander Franco would do?
So there's going to be one guy. It would be him. So
it would be him. So I think he has it tough. I am still on Team Arozarena because of that. Because baseball writers and baseball fans, we like round numbers. It's okay. That's a thing about baseball. We like round numbers. So when you see 20 home runs almost for Randy, almost 15 stolen bases, he has over 100 games played, 120, 125. It speaks a little bit better. But if you look at the rookie leaderboard on the Fangraphs for WAR, Wander Franco has done basically almost as good as Randy in half the time.
Yeah, he's catching up for sure. And I don't know if I would have thought this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, but the way he's playing right now, he's certainly making a case. In fact, he could theoretically surpass or get very, very close to Randy if we're looking at WAR and some of those metrics in about, you know, half the time, half as many games. And Ulysses, you mentioned it about, so it's not totally out of the realm of possibility. I mean, there's still a percentage there. You had Correa, you had Alvarez, you had Will Myers. I guess this is such an asterisk. It doesn't really count, but Kyle Lewis did it with less than 100 games too. I don't know exactly how many of the 60 games that he had, but I would say, I would almost be willing to say it's a slam dunk that he would win Rookie of the Year if he breaks that Frank Robinson record. Yes. I think that would get enough profile and pizzazz and panache to be able to do that. And I wonder how much of, look, no disrespect to what Adolis Garcia and Randy Arozarena have done. Adolis is playing for a crap team. I mean, not competitive, and he's slowed down since the All-Star break. And I wonder, you know, if I'm not sure how the voting is made up, but maybe those guys divert some votes and allows a Wander Franco or somebody else to sweep in and take a couple of votes, because it's not like there's not a slam dunk case here. So maybe some folks are going for Garcia because of the home runs. Maybe some people go with Randy Arozarena because of the higher average and the combination of power and steals. And then maybe that allows Wander to step in there. And two, you know, with Randy Arozarena, I feel like I'm criticizing him, but how much of his home runs and production has come against the Baltimore Orioles? It's very Gleyber Torres-esque, no? Yeah,
sure, but at the end of the day, you got to look at that stat line. We don't look back in record books and say, well, did you know that Mickey Mantle had like 20 home runs against the crab pitcher? We look at the whole bottom line. I understand that point, though. I think the Frank Robinson is a really good one, though. If Wander crosses that gives him too much national spotlight. That gives him too many Passan articles, Ken Rosenthal articles. Right. You're going to get too much buzz for him not to win it. So for those that want Wander Franco to win it, then you better hope that he crosses the Frank Robinson line. Because if he does, then he's Rookie of the Year. If he doesn't, I think you go round numbers. You go with the guy that has been there the whole season, and that's Randy.
And just to add on to that a little bit, what Randy, I wonder how many people look at Randy as taking a step back after what he did last season towards the tail end of 2020 and in the postseason.
That's so unfair.
I know it's unfair, but
oh, no, he
I
wasn't Barry Bonds.
Yeah, he was Barry Bonds.
I know. And that's what I wonder if people are like, Well, he's not, is he really a rookie? Like, again, and I'm really on Team Wander as of right now. You know, Randy's 26 years old. Adolis Garcia is 25 and a half years old. Wander Franco is 20 years old. And if you see, look, and voters aren't going to pay. They're not going to go as in depth as we are here, but you see opposing pitchers attacking Randy Arozarena. You see opposing pitchers staying away, avoiding pitching to Wander Franco. Like, and there's definitely a dichotomy there. And it's, I'm not sure what the latest numbers are, but Wander Franco could end the season with what, more walks than strikeouts possibly. Yeah. And his numbers since the All-Star break they're, I mean, you look at just about everything except maybe home runs. I mean, it's topped the leaderboard since the All-Star break compared to other rookies. So I just, what he's been able to do and the impact he's been able to make, And the streak that he's on, and maybe even if he doesn't break Frank Robinson's record, maybe he gets very close to it. Say he just gets to 40 games. I still think, and we've been talking about Wander for a couple of years now. People have been talking about him for a couple of years now in the prospect realm. One of like three players to be named MLB's top prospect 2 years running, joining Bryce Harper and
Joe Mauer and
Andrew Jones. Was it maybe Andrew Jones was the other one?
Yeah, I think four. Yeah, I mean, look.
So there's a pedigree there.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. I feel like maybe a little too little too late.
Yeah.
But again, I think the Frank Robinson is the line. I think if he crosses that, there's too many interviews, too many things, articles written about him. So maybe that's how he wins it. So we'll see. But it's a close one. And again, like, this is such a fun team. I mean, we're arguing about like who's going to win Rookie of the Year. And you have like three candidates if you're the Rays. Honestly, and an outside dark horse, if he had maybe performed a little bit better and maybe had a little bit more time, Luis Patino could have gotten in that conversation as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if Taylor Walls had played a full season.
Exactly. What Taylor Walls did defensively for a month and a half and then got himself in the leaderboards in DRS, or was it UZR? Right. I don't remember. I think DRS. It was DRS. Yeah. That's stupid. That's MLB The Show 21 stupid. I mean, come on. You're not expecting that type of production from really young guys, but that just speaks to the system. That just speaks to the development of these players and how fun it is to be a Rays fan right now. I mean, we're arguing about who wins the Rookie of the Year award, and we're not Texas Rangers fans.
Yeah.
We're not Pirates fans. I mean, this is not like, ooh, let's go Ke'Bryan Hayes because I have nobody else to root for. You know,
so maybe I feel a little bad for Rangers fans. Maybe I want Adolis Garcia to win it, so they have something to hang their hat on this season.
They need a W. But again, I think it's going to be really fun. You know, to Kevin's point, though, he says that it could divert some votes. What about if there is some votes diversion between some people going Team Randy, some people hitting Team Wander, and a little dark horse on the third winning that, a Garcia?
I could see it. Yeah. If you want to vote for a Rays player and you're looking between those two guys, them splitting votes. Honestly, I think what the debate comes down to, and I'm not in the voters' heads, but is it the rookie? It's not the most valuable rookie. It's the rookie of the year. And if I'm watching this baseball season, Wander Franco is the rookie of the year. I mean, he has just been the guy. He has been, I don't think you can look at it, except for maybe that August stretch. Randy Arozarena was one of the top 10 hitters in baseball and he was just on fire. Wander has been doing that for a month and a half, and we've really seen no reason for him to stop through September. I'd love for Randy to win it, and I still think he's the favorite. But if I had the vote, and I'm looking at the rookie of the year, especially when we're in a time where service time manipulation exists and rookies aren't always going to start the season on the big league roster, they're not always going to get the opportunity to play 150 plus games. I think I give Wander Franco the benefit of the doubt there, and I would vote for him. I don't know how it's going to play out. I think Randy Arozarena is going to win it if the ballots were cast today, but who knows? Like you said, if that Frank Robinson record is broken, anything could happen.
And we think that, you know, coming in last year, that Randy Arozarena had swag and energy and enthusiasm. Wander takes it to a whole nother level. His walks are even fun to watch. Yeah. His flyouts are fun to watch.
The like, discipline, the way he stands at the box with just such like, I got this. You are nobody. I don't care who you are. That glove, that stitching, that is nothing to mm-hmm. me. You are not ready for this. I mean, that attitude had been missing from a race lineup. And now I think it oozes. And it's really cool. Look, everybody talks about the quiet players. Okay, Austin Meadows and Brandon Lau. Look, let them be them. That works for them. We enjoy 33 bombs, too, from Brandon mm-hmm. Lau. No matter how they come, no matter the swag. But it's really entertaining to see a 20-year-old like Wander Franco, who has a damn MLB tattoo on his neck, just enjoy the game so much. Like, if you wanted a representation of the face of MLB in the 21st century, look no further than Wander Franco.
Yeah, and you see the growth by the hour, by the day, by mm-hmm. the week. We know when he first got called up, that increase in velocity from AAA to the big leagues was a little bit of a hangup for him, but he's now shown that, okay, Chris Sale will throw a 97 fastball above the zone and he'll deposit it out of the ballpark or out of the field over the fence. And even the defense has picked up a little bit, some of the leaping athletic plays and being able to now turn a double play without so many issues, making more of the routine plays. He's certainly, I don't think, ever going to be Taylor Walls or as good of a defender as he is, but he's definitely done enough at that position. And let me say this too. How bad do, if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, how bad do you feel right now knowing that Adolis Garcia and Randy Arozarena were both former farmhands?
And Luke Voit. Yeah. Luke Voit too, right?
So many others, actually. I mean, there's a long list of guys, a long list of hitters and players that they've given up on for one reason or the other. So,
yeah, before we send it to a quick break, I don't think the Rays have any other favorites in any of the other award categories, but if you guys had to guess which either Rays player or manager has the best chance of walking home with some silverware other than what the team might win, who would you guys say?
I think that has to be Kevin Cash.
Yeah.
Do you see so many Kevin Cash jerseys in the stadium? That's for a reason, you know?
Not many other clubs have their reasons, manager jerseys in the stands.
No other team has as many manager jerseys. I think him. What this team has been doing this whole season is so impressive. You got to look at the helm and who's the captain there. And that's Kevin Cash. And, you know, we joke around when we don't like a move or a decision. We call it Kevin Crash. Was that a Kevin Crash moment? And, you know, honestly, I miss it to say Kevin Crash because there haven't been that many Kevin Crash moments. Mm-hmm. And I always had a fun time in the pod with Kevin Crash moments, but the team has been really good for the last 2 years. I mean, we really haven't had that many Kevin Crash moments.
No, not that I can think of. And yeah, if I had to guess, probably a non-player award, if not Kevin Cash, maybe Eric Neander for MLB executive of the year with all the arms that he's brought in and all the prospects that have gotten promoted. So something along those lines, I'd probably say as well.
The only other one for manager of the year, and it would be a bit of a sentimental choice, and it would be dependent on how this season finishes, would be the guy who was on the broadcast last year and was a finalist last year when Kevin Cash won it, Charlie Montoya. If the Blue Jays sneak into the postseason to see him win it, the way he's managed that bullpen, and they've dealt with a lot of injuries. Like, they were supposed to have Kirby Yates. He was supposed to be their bell cow in that bullpen. They don't have him this year. He's done a really good job with that pitching staff, who I had no faith in. Robbie Ray could win the Cy Young Award, and I thought he was a terrible pitcher. So to see what he's done, he's obviously got a lot of talent, a lot of young talent, but what he's done with them this late in the season they were like a middling team not that long ago, and now they're on the doorstep. They just swept the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. It would be incredible to see Charlie Montoya win it.
100%. Always like Charlie. And you talk about that sweep. I watched the last inning. They got me kind of scared with the back-to-back home runs the Yankees did. But they said on the broadcast, Michael Kay with a very, very sad voice, which I always enjoy a Michael Kay with a sad voice, saying that hadn't happened. The Yankees being swept on a four-game series at home, that hadn't happened since 1908.
Wow.
It was great to see that. And yeah, Charlie Montoyo, what he's done with the injuries, definitely. It's okay to root for X Race, I think, you know, if you're I feel like, you know, I want good things to happen to Rocco Baldelli and Charlie Montoyo.
Who's already won a manager of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So good things for X Race. That's never too bad, especially if, you know, you have very fond memories of them as players like we do with Rocco.
Yeah. And Ulysses, you mentioned Michael Kay. I like to hear him in sad doom and gloom mood, but even more so, I like to see sad doom and gloom Susan Waldman and John Sterling. I'd much rather hear that than Michael Kay when it comes down to it.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, we're going to talk about who the Rays might be facing in the ALDS.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back on Raise Your Voice with Kevin Weiss and Ulysses Zambrano from Locked On Rays. And let's talk about the wild card race, because I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to, you know, put any negative energy into the universe, but I think the Rays have a pretty strong grip on the number one seed in the American League. They've really kind of pulled away from the pack in that regard. Over the last month, they've just been on fire. They sit at 88-52 right now. The AL East 9-game lead. I think that one's locked up. And I think the AL number one seed is locked up as well, which means they'll be playing in the ALDS, the winner of the American League wildcard game, which we thought for a while was going to be the Red Sox and Yankees. But
right,
these last couple of weeks, a couple other teams have snuck in there. You've seen Toronto, Seattle's still there. Toronto's only a half game out right now. Seattle's still there. And the Oakland A's are still there. It's going to be a really exciting battle through this last month of September. But I kind of want to talk about what maybe the best matchup would be for the Rays, maybe, or maybe the one that's most intriguing, and what would be the worst matchup for this Rays team. So let's start with maybe teams we'd want to see the Rays face, whether it be for competitive reasons or for fandom reasons.
Right. The petty side of a baseball fan in me wants both the Yankees and the Red Sox to just be eating Cheetos in their couch in October and watching the Mariners and the Jays go at it for the wild card game. That's honestly what half of me wants so badly. But then again, that would mean that they would be a hot team, both of them, Jays and the Mariners. So then that really doesn't, I don't know, pose a really good outlook for the Rays. I don't know. You know, we've talked about this, I think this week on Locked On Rays, and I couldn't make up my mind. And it's been 4 days later and I still can't make my mind up. I don't know, because the Yankees and the Red Sox, obviously they know each other so well. I mean, the Red Sox have no secrets to the Rays and vice versa. Same thing with the Yankees. But who's reeling the most? We just saw the Red Sox blow a 7-1 lead with their best guy on the mound, which should never have happened, that was a lost game. So when you're able to show that in Fenway, it's kind of you saying, look, we're above you. We're above you. So you got to look at that. The Yankees have beaten the Rays the last two series, 2-1. Then yeah, the Rays basically routed them 14-0. I think, was it 14-0? The getaway game?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
It was something 14- lopsided.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, right? So there's that. I feel like the Red Sox are a little bit less threatening than the Yankees. That's that. So if I were to pick the weakest opponent, I think it would be the Red Sox. The pitching has never really oozed any side of confidence for me. I always thought that was just the regression to the mean is happening. April and May, I don't care. They don't have the pitching. It's not happening. And they finally, you know, made me look like I really know something. So that's nice. So that's who I would go for. The weakest would be the Red Sox. But again, seeing both of them out of the playoffs, even if it would mean hot teams like the Mariners and the Jays, that would be fun.
Yeah. So who, if I was a Rays fan, would most want to see play in a a wild card matchup or whatever comes to that. I got to be honest. I would say either Oakland or Seattle. I know that the Rays have had their issues with Seattle this season. Now, some of that was pre Nelson Cruz and Wander Franco and so forth, but I just don't see how the Mariners can come in and be, no, you know, be all great shakes. They, and I said this months ago that the Mariners almost kind of remind me of the 2018 Rays. It's like, how did they win 90 games with this roster? What are they doing here? Ty France is like their top offensive player. And yeah, they got a couple good pitchers, but nobody that's like, oh man, watch out for this ace. It's just, you know, kind of a couple guys that are, you know, 3.5-4 ERA type. So, and also they're probably just, hey, we're just happy to be here. We haven't been here in 19, 20 years. We don't know what it's like. Yeah.
Which happens with a lot of teams, right? I feel like the Mariners thing, we're losing 6 out of 7. Let's look at really what happened. The first series, the Glasnow had just gotten hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're dealing with that in the clubhouse. Imagine how that ambiance was during that series. And besides, they lost 3 out of those 4 games in walk-offs. So, I mean, it was a flip of the coin. You can't just lose 3 out of 4 of walk-offs in a series and not say, okay, well, that could have gone the other way, right? And in the second series, let's look at that homestand. It started with the Yankee series, then the Red Sox. That Yankee series was with the route. And then the Red Sox series, they sweep the Red Sox. There's a ESPN night. They take over first place in the AL East. Obviously, there's going to be mental fatigue and a hangover happening. And then the Mariners come to town. Yeah, the energy level was sucked out of the room. I think you and I, Kevin, we went to that game on Monday night or Tuesday.
That's right, yeah.
And I mean, even the fans, we were all just like, wow, that's very noticeable. I think Waka was
pitching. Waka was on the mound, throwing that cutter, getting hit hard. It was a clunker after the third or fourth inning.
It really was. It was cutter Waka, which is not the Waka we like. So no, I feel like the Mariners, 6 out of 7, that's a little bit, you know, you can see why it was 6 out of 7.
And then if not the Mariners, I think, again, the Rays have shown they've had success against the Oakland A's in the past, particularly in the playoffs. And I think same thing outside of Matt Olson and Ramon Laureano is suspended last time I checked. I think that would be a favorable matchup for the Rays. I think there might be also a mental hurdle with Oakland of like, can we ever get out of the wild card? Like that's kind of a constant battle. Now, if it, you know, came to the ALDS or something like that, yeah, Oakland's got a lot of workhorses. I mean, they have 4 guys who have thrown 150 plus innings in Montas, Bassett, Irvin, and Manaea, but I still don't think they're, you know, I'd rather face one of those two teams rather than the team that scares me the most right now. I hate to change gears, is the Toronto Blue Jays for myriad reasons. And, you know, Boston, I think some of what they're going through right now is the fact that like half their team is on the COVID IL. So I think they're probably better than they've shown and played as of late. And I wonder, you know, not to say this would happen, but you know, the Rays have a lot of rookies on their team. They have a lot of players that don't have a ton of major league experience. Maybe it is a little bit of a different something when you get to the playoffs and you're staring across that Red Sox uniform. You're staring across that Yankees uniform conversed with the Oakland A's or the Seattle Mariners. So that's kind of how I look at it. And I guess it sort of makes sense and works out because Oakland and Seattle are the two lowest teams in that wild card race. But certainly, I mean, that's 5 teams huddled up. It could be a flip of a coin depending on how the season plays out.
I think if I got to pick, it would either be Seattle or Oakland. I know the stuff with Seattle. Out of the AL East teams, I'd want the Red Sox. And the reason is because I don't think it's necessarily the best matchup for the Rays. It's because I don't want any part of the Blue Jays. And I'm going to show some of my true colors here. I don't really want any part of the Yankees. And it's not because I think the Rays would lose against the Yankees. It's because I couldn't handle the thought of them potentially losing against the Yankees. I don't know about you guys. After game 4 of the ALDS last year, I slept for like 1 hour that night. One, because I was uploading the podcast, but two, I just couldn't sleep with the thought of the Rays losing game 5 that very next night. Yes. It drove me insane. And so maybe that's the dark side of my fandom, but I just can't fathom the Rays having to, I can't fathom sitting through 4 or 5 of those games again. That was, it was great baseball. But even after Brasso hit that home run, I was still so tense because there was still three outs to get in a one-run game.
Yes.
Toronto, though. I want to talk about Toronto because I clowned the Blue Jays this offseason for re-upping with Robbie Ray, who I thought was one of the worst pitchers that caught consistent starts in the major leagues. And he has turned that into what I think he should be the front runner for American League Cy Young. I know Garrett Cole's had a great year. He's now on the IL. But what Robbie Ray has done, 166 innings pitched, a 2.6 ERA. Even you look at the peripherals, they're really good. His walks are way down this year, and that was always his biggest problem. The strikeouts are still going up. He has just been an elite pitcher. But even after that, you've got Ryu. You've got Steven Matz. They went out and added Jose Berríos at the trade deadline. Alek Manoah, who tore down the Rays earlier this season. That is a pitching staff that, out of all the teams in the AL East, scare me the most. Like, that might be a better pitching staff than what the Rays have. And they've done really, really well. Obviously, you've got Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, Marcus Semien, who are all potential like MVP. Like, they've all been MVP candidates at some point, or they will be in the future. That is a stacked lineup. And the way things are going, they've won 9 out of the last 10. So they're red hot right now. But I don't see a scenario in which they're not playing in the American League wildcard game at the end of the regular season. Who knows if they'll win it, but I think they'll be there. And I really don't think that anybody's going to be able to cool them down to the extent that they're going to miss out on the postseason entirely.
Well, seeing what they just did to the Yankees, right? And that was just impressive. Who do you think would be the big stopper in the wildcard game if the Jays get there? Let's say the Jays get one spot. Who will say, you know what, Jace, that's enough? Is it the Red Sox? Is it the Mariners? Or is it Moneyball A's? Who do you think?
I mean, it would be like the Yankees, if they have Garrett Cole pitching on that in that wild card game. Like, he's the only guy that I would say, okay, yeah, the Blue Jays just might not have a chance tonight. But okay, anyone else, they're like, they could beat Chris Sale. Like, Sale, like, he's had some really good starts, but he's still not, maybe not yet the Chris Sale that he was pre-injury. I don't see anyone be like, you know, you put your best on the line. If it's not Garrett Cole for the Yankees, I don't know how you beat the Blue Jays in a one game. And obviously anything can happen, but man, this team scares me almost to the point where, like, I'm really scared about playing him in a 5-game set.
There we go. And so now we have arrived. Okay. So if the Jays get through, you know, whoever the wild card game opponent is, and then the Rays get to face them, that, first of all, that's going to be a really, really fun series. And because it's going to be fun, but like you said, last year with the Yankees and that, the tense, you know, atmosphere in your own bed, which I had it as well. You know, I think that's the good thing about playing the Jays. I don't think I would feel bad if the Rays lose against the Jays compared to the Red Sox or Yankees, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
There's like an ego involved in that race of like, I don't want to see a damn Yankee fan look at me for the next 7 months. Yeah.
I'd rather lose to Jordan or Jose Berríos than Jordan Montgomery.
Yes. Right. Any night. Jordan Montgomery was the guy who was pitching in game 4, wasn't he? In the ALDS, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Because I had Jordan Montgomery in my nightmares that night.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. So there's that. I wouldn't have that, you know, ruminating in my brain, which it would be good for my mental health.
Yeah.
But they're a hot team right now. I mean, you don't want to mess with the Blue Jays right now. So I'm looking at the schedule right now. The Rays face them on Monday through Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then they'll face them again Monday through Wednesday the next week at the Trop. 6 games. I love that the Rays are facing them now with this amount of lead in the division, where it's basically, you know, knocking on wood, everything's going to be fine. I'm not jinxing anybody. Everything looks good in the division. You have 6 games to face them at their hottest. I love that. I love that for the Rays. Let's see who can beat them, because that'll be an ego boost too. And kind of a lesson for the little kids in the Blue Jays, if the Rays come out victorious, 5 out of 6, 4 out of 6, be like, that's nice what you've been doing, Toronto, but we're the big boys. We went to the World Series last year. We were 11 outs away from game 7. It's nice what you're doing, but it's our turn.
And wouldn't that I mean, look, we know we have disdain for the Yankees and Red Sox, but to me, I feel like that would be such a more entertaining series to see the Rays and the Blue Jays and all the young talent that both those teams have. Plus the Blue Jays, of course, have their veterans. They have, I mean, they've got five guys with 20 plus home runs. That doesn't even include George Springer because he has not been able to stay healthy
right
as of yet. But you have your Wander Franco and Randy Rosarena and Shane McClanahan going up against the likes of Alec Manoa and Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero. I think that you could so many fun, interesting storylines.
I can see the poster.
Yeah.
Vladdy V. Wander.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's made for ESPN. It's made for every national media. MLB Network is dying to showcase these talents.
And in Toronto, where they didn't get to see their team all of last year and half of this year, those atmospheres going back and forth between the Trop and in Rogers Center, that would just be some. I know, obviously, Fenway and Yankee Stadium, they're always going to have great atmospheres, but the matchups there for Rays Blue Jays, for me, as a, you know, maybe the network heads executives don't agree, but for me, that would be the best possible matchup in the ALDS and. I dread it. I dread all playoff games, but I hope we get it. I hope we get it.
In this tier, more than any, you know, the Blue Jays were, I mean, a crosstown rival playing in Dunedin for that first month and a half. And we can cue the St. Petersburg, Montreal, Canada, Florida jokes, too. You kind of build in that storyline as well. So I think there's a lot to that for sure.
I'll say this too. Toronto was kind of taken away their baseball team, right? For so long, not only last year, but also this year, we were taking away that joy of going to the Trop and see our team in the World Series, in the playoffs, that whole run. Mm-hmm. Game four would have been at the damn Trop. I would have been there. You would have been there. We all would have been there. Okay, everybody listening, everybody, you know, 100,000 people would have been there. Okay, even outside. Life just kind of took that away from us, not to put it into any other context, just baseball only. 2021, we would have the chance to see another playoff run at the Trop. I mean, what in Toronto too, after being away for so long from their own city, that, I mean, those crowds, these are any more fan bases this thirsty for being in the playoff atmosphere than the Rays and the Jays? I don't think so.
Yeah, for sure.
And nobody wants to see Garrett Cole's shaved face or Joey Gallo's shaved face. We don't want to see that mess on national television.
No, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. So
here, Garrett Cole's Kermit the Frog impression. And the I'm sorry, that was mean of me. But as we wrap it up, you guys are our first time guests, and hopefully this isn't the last time you guys will be on Raise Your Voice. But we like to let our guests raise their voice, and since it's your first time on, I'm kind of curious maybe if you guys have any controversial Rays opinions or controversial baseball opinions that maybe you keep close to the vest, maybe you don't share it on Locked On Rays, or maybe you do, but you'd like to share with the Raise Your Voice listeners. What are your most controversial Rays or baseball opinions?
I'll let Kevin Wise take this one first. How about you,
Jack? Okay. And we have discussed this on the show many times, and it's kind of a callback or a throwback, if you will. I'd love to see 7-inning games. I'd love to see that just to shorten things up a little bit. I'd also like to see fewer games, you know, 120, 110 game schedule, something along those lines, and expanded playoffs, 14 to 16 teams. That's what I would like to see. And Ulysses strongly, strongly disagrees with me. I think I disagree
with all three of those opinions.
Yeah. Every time he says 14 to 16 playoff teams, I just think this ain't football. This ain't the picks. Don't do this to me. I'm okay with ties. I'm a soccer fan.
There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, look, I'll give it to the 10th, 11, maybe one time through the order. Everybody gets nine more bats. That's what you get. Nine more. That's it. No more. After that, you call it a tie. Well, what is so wrong with ties? I don't get this fascination with American sports that we just can't have ties. Like,
it's okay. You know what would make so interesting in September and the playoff chase? Looking at that standings and be like, no, we have to win. There, we can't tie. Right. Like, we got to go. We got to win. No, I don't care, Gerrit Cole. You're starting today because it's 3 days rest, and it's we cannot tie tonight. We have to win. That would make it so much more fun. That would help out the extra innings, the IL stints of going seeing players pitching, position players pitching. I think if you make it a tie, I think it would be way better for baseball to move forward and kind of alleviate what you're saying about the season being so long and the games being so long. Just cut it off. Just call it a tie.
To Ulysses, I say, yeah, baseball's in football. Baseball's in soccer either. So touche on that one, buddy. Actually, I think Ulysses and I agree on this is some sort of mercy rule.
Yes.
If we have a blowout game, if it's 10-0 after the sixth inning, it's like, what are we doing here? We don't need to force this thing along. A team, a manager gets a certain number of designated white flags, and we're going to end this one and move on.
Save our pitchers, move on.
Yeah, just like a little, hey, look, your clunker flag, wave it around. Look, this is a clunker. I got Brett Phillips warming up. Have you got, like, let me not do this. Can we just call it a wrap? You get once or maybe two clunker flags every month. And and so that'll be like 12 clunkers a year. I think that would alleviate like the mercy rule. Like, look, guys, you want us, you want today. Yeah, let's go home. Let's go watch Netflix because you guys had us today. Yeah. It's fine.
Ulysses, do you have any Rays hot takes? Rays related
hot takes. I enjoy the Trop.
Okay.
I enjoy the
Trop.
I'm
good with that one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, what's so wrong about the Trop? I mean, I've been to other ballparks, I've seen them, they're fantastic. I just went this year to Truist Park. Lovely, lovely park. The Battery was even better. I mean, honestly, if you give me the Battery, which is, you know, the like a Sparkman Wharf's Armature Park, you know, Armature Works kind of thing. If you do the Battery outside the Trop, then the whole thing is fixed.
Ybor City plans, they had a similar idea, I think, going on in those renderings. Obviously, some of that would have to come to fruition, but yeah. I like the idea there.
Yeah, I think as a Rays fan, I'm okay with having 72 degree air conditioning in July in Tampa, Florida. And I'm okay with it having catwalks because I don't want my games to be rained out. I want to go to the Trop, watch my 3 hours of baseball, and then go home.
No rain outs, no lightning delays, although occasionally there'll be a power outage or two. I think that's happened once or twice in the past. So I'm with you on the Trop thing. Sometimes the parking situation, if they could redevelop that area, that'd be fine. But I really don't have any major qualms with the Trop either. I mean, aesthetically, yeah, people are going to make fun of it, but I like the AC. I like knowing that the environment's going to be the same, you know, every single time there. And I like that one too. So we got a couple hot takes there, I guess. We've got many more. You'd have to tune into the Locked On Rays podcast. I mean, it seems like we're always coming up with a hot take here and there. So. Yeah.
I mean, the thing with the Trop is, yes, of course, they're going to need a new stadium and sooner rather than later, it better be indoors. I don't even need a retractable roof. The amount of days during the baseball season that I would like to be sitting outside, I could probably count on one hand.
Yes.
And so if they can save a couple $100 million on the retractable roof and maybe some land area, it does not need to be retractable. But I think in the last few years, especially with the concessions and some of the lighting, they've done a good job at putting money into the Trop. The LED lighting makes it look less like a warehouse.
Yes.
The turf looks a lot better than it used to. It doesn't look as splotchy in areas in the concessions. Now, granted, it did take them to finish dead last in the health and safety reports to upgrade the concessions, but they did it. They switched from Pepsi to Coke. I'm all for that. And I give them a lot of credit for some of the work they've put in into the Trop.
And the walk around the Trop from the Budweiser porch, and you can just walk around. That's awesome. Yes. I think that was a really cool thing. You know, if I could have my cake and eat it too, I would find out a way without disrupting, obviously, the batter's eye for to have the Budweiser porch somehow you could see
There's only so many areas that you can view the game from the porch. But yeah. When I was there the other day, I had tickets in the press level, and we sat there for one inning. And then we went to the porch and watched the rest of the game from the porch. There's food options. There's beverage options right there. And you can kind of just stand and chill and watch the game. And honestly, it's a really great experience. So yeah, I bought tickets. Was only there for about 20 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. You just want to get to the Budweiser porch because it's so fun. I'll do another one too. In the I'm forgetting the season ticket holders place called.
It's the First Republic Bank.
Yeah, the Republic Bank. Republic Bank, draft. Yeah.
Draft room. Yeah. Okay.
When you go inside, you get like a little sliver of the stadium.
Yeah.
And then like the 80% of the bleachers that come below, above it. Like, this is the setup for the season ticket holders. You can't even watch the game in the draft room.
You gotta get your food and get out. Too. Yep.
Again, I'm no civil engineer. I'm no architect. So don't ask me how to fix these things. But as a layman, I would say, you know what? I'm sure that a smart man or woman could come up with something.
By the way, all the positive things we said about the Trop in the last 5 minutes, I think Willie Adames disagrees with every single thing. I'll just throw that out there and leave that to you.
Yeah.
Road Willie all the time is really fun to watch in Milwaukee. I hope he gets healthy again and can contribute. Because I ultimately think, and I guess you guys can throw out your season predictions if you want. I think it's going to be Rays Brewers in the World Series at the end of the year.
Ooh, you know what? I'm going to say something that's going to break hearts.
I know what you're going to do. Go ahead and do it. Say it. Yeah.
Longo v. Wander.
Oh,
the Giants.
I can't.
And the Rays. That would break our hearts. But, I mean, you imagine. Oh, okay. It's game three or whatever it would be at the Trop. Longo steps up. We got to give him the first of all, a standing ovation.
It would be his first game back too.
It would be his first game back in the World Series. You better hope. I would riot if they don't play Down and Out by Tantric.
Yeah, you have to.
And his damn walk-up song. He deserves it.
You installed duckies for that series. You bring that back.
That's good. Ducky's porch.
I'd be cool with either one of those. I think those would be great, but it would Giants Rays all the way. And I'd love to see what the Rays could do in San Francisco's playing in that ballpark.
Bay Area. Nelson Boomstick in over there.
Brandon Lau?
Oh, Austin Meadows.
Brandon Lau, splash area, splash zone for Brandon Lau.
Zunino? Yeah. Oh my. Oh, Zunino hitting that Coke bottle or that glove. You know it.
Could be some good stuff there. Just throwing it out there.
You're getting me hyped, Brett.
I know.
You're getting me hyped.
Can we fast forward a month and a half, 2 months already?
We got to get there first. We got to get there first.
But that's right.
I know we've got a first pitch for Friday's game coming up here in a few minutes. So I'm going to let you guys go, but I want to be able to go watch the game too. So thank you guys for coming on.
Of course. Anytime. We had a great time.
Thank you so much.
And once again, I just have to thank Kevin and Ulysses for hopping on. They are great. If you haven't checked out Locked On Rays before, please go do so. Please. It's a great daily podcast. And I know this is only a weekly show, so you're only getting us once a week. You can listen to us. You can listen to them. They are a huge part of the Rays community. And it's really cool to see what they've got going on over there. So make sure to check them out, the Locked On Rays podcast. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Raise Your Voice. Thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure to head on over to draysbay.com. to check out all of the great Rays coverage that is really ramping up as we head towards the postseason. Again, we're getting closer to the Instant Reaction Playoff podcast, which were a ton of fun last year, and they should be happening once again this year. So a few more Raise Your Voice before we get into the Instant Reaction podcast season. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'll talk to you guys next week.